never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
After 20 years of going backwards, we may not be speeding at the speed we wanted, but we at least have turned the boat around to the right direction.
WOR 710, you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave. You heard that intro that Noah put on for us. Well, our condolences to the family of the tugboat operator. I mean, you're in a tugboat, there's nobody around you, you're pushing or pulling a barge. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. It's not like the streets of Manhattan where there's 42,000 pieces of steel inches from you every second, and yellow cabs are the safest statistically vehicles on the road there. Anyway, I am broadcasting live from Lantana, Florida, thanks to Marge and Mike. I'm actually broadcasting from their house out of a dresser drawer, and that's real. You can't make this stuff up on live radio, folks. Okay, I'm here on family business, and anybody go to restaurants within the sound of my voice? You know, we're going to have Todd Higgins on in a little while, in about 5 minutes. He's the lead attorney for the federal lawsuit against the city of New York regarding equal protection. And, you know, for those of you following it, you certainly want to stay tuned and listen to him. We'll be speaking with Mike Spivak towards the end of the show. But I went to a beautiful restaurant, the Dune Deck Cafe, overlooking the water in Manalapan, and the food was excellent. The service was excellent. What a great way to start the day. And now I was working on the radio show for a few hours, and I wanted to find a place close and fast, because close is fast. So how long from the time you order your food, how long should it take for your food to get to you in a restaurant? I mean, just think about that, folks. All right, well, we went to, I'm here with my son-in-law, Mark. And Mark's in the studio with me, with Marge, and in the studio, in the dresser drawer with me, with Marge. And we went to a place called Basil's Bar and Grill. And my son-in-law said, great, a bar and grill, man. I feel like having a hamburger. Well, it's the first bar and grill in America that doesn't have any hamburgers. It's very expensive, and we figured the food is great. And the food, from what everyone says, is fair. So we ordered the food at 6:30. I had to be out of there at 7 o'clock to get back to prepare for the show. 6:45, 15 minutes. How long do you think you should wait for your food? 15 minutes. 20 minutes. 25 minutes. A half an hour, the waitress says, oh, your food will be right out. We had no appetizers. We just ordered the main dish. We didn't have bread. And I'm sitting at a table for a half an hour after we ordered, waiting for my meal. People who got there after us were eating. I hate to sound like I'm complaining, like a lot of seniors down here. They got served before me, but they got served before me. The food came at 7:05, 35 minutes later. I ordered a rack of lamb, okay? And I was really hungry, and I ordered broccoli with garlic and oil. Of course, they brought me broccoli rabe, but the rack of lamb... This is the first time in the history of America that rack of lamb is served with marinara sauce. Who serves rack of lamb with marinara sauce? They'd be out of business in 5 minutes. There's 6,000 restaurants in New York City, folks. Maybe there's more. But 6,000 restaurants. I got charged $3 for a seltzer. I got marinara sauce on my rack of lamb, the most expensive thing on the menu. So, folks, Basil's Bar and Grill, South Ocean Avenue in Manalapan, avoid it for all costs. The waitress is very nice. The atmosphere is okay, not bad. But if you feel like waiting 35 minutes for marinara on your rack of lamb, then go there. Okay, I really had to vent about that. I was going to vent about an experience on the airplane on the way down here, but we'll save that for another day. We're going to be talking about a few things. There's some stuff going on in Chicago. The New York City Council had a budget hearing for 2016-2017. There was a Taxi Limousine Commission industry notice. Bunch of other things. Gridlock Sam, the Oculus Station. I have New York City statistics. A lot of you like that stuff. No recalls today. But with us right now is the lead attorney in the lawsuit against the City of New York and the Taxi and Limousine Commission. Todd Higgins is not only the lead attorney, but he's a partner in Higgins and Crosby. Is it Crosby or Crosby? I always think of Bing Crosby, but we'll find out. With us right now on the Taxi Dave Show is Todd Higgins. Welcome back.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastic. The last time you were on the show, you educated everyone, especially me and everyone else listening, the difference between plaintiffs. we talked about the state, Supreme Court lawsuit, and also the federal lawsuit. So there were a couple of lawsuits going on. March 7th, I understand, was a big day regarding the federal lawsuit. Can you bring all our listeners up to date and give us some background on how we got here?
Well, Dave, like you said, there are two primary lawsuits that we're involved in. One of them is the state case that we talked about the last time I was on the show, and that case is now up or going up on appeal from the judgment in Queens. And the federal case, which is what you were just talking about, and we talked a little bit about that. That case brings a number of claims, but probably the one that's most pressing at the moment is the equal protection claim. And that is the basic idea of however we got to be in the situation we are in New York City with Uber and the yellow taxis, the fact of the matter is if you're going to ask them to compete, you've got to have a level playing field. And, you know, that's not just a matter of common sense. It's not just a matter of fairness. It's a constitutional requirement. So the federal lawsuit seeks to compel New York City and the Taxi and Limousine Commission to treat taxis and Uber equally. And that case, as you know, you mentioned March 7th. On March 7th, we asked the court to reconsider and basically to rehear our motion for a preliminary injunction, which seeks to essentially direct that the city treat both yellow taxis and Uber the same. And it focuses on a series of what we consider to be disparate treatment, basically unequal treatment. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are well schooled at this point in the lack of a level playing field around a number of key issues. And the lawsuit seeks to level the playing field on those issues. So we ask the court to reconsider and upon reconsideration to grant the motion for preliminary injunction. Those papers were filed on March 7th. The city, their response to those papers is due next week, and then we get a reply, and we're hopeful that the court will reconsider quickly.
If you have any questions for Todd Higgins, our phone number is 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. If you want to send me an email, just email Taxi Dave at taxihale@aol.com. And no, I'm not going to read the dirty ones, okay? Only clean emails, please. Todd, something happened in Chicago. There was an article in the paper that stated there was an ordinance proposed by Alderman Anthony Beal. He's the chairman of the Transportation Committee in Chicago, which is interesting. And Uber and Lyft have undercut the taxi industry in Chicago, so they can't recruit cabbies to drive anymore. And he said that lots of the cabbies are idle, they're sitting there, and his quote was, "We need to do something to get these cars back on the street." Now they're adding a 50-cent surcharge on credit cards, and they feel that taxis would largely benefit and directly benefit from that. So if you're a Taxi Dave avid listener, which I know you are, Todd, a few weeks ago we had the CEO of the Australian Taxi Association on, and the same exact problems that we're going through in New York City are happening halfway around the world.
Well, look, you know, I've looked at the Chicago market a lot. I've been in communication with the lead counsel in Chicago that is engaged in a litigation that looks a whole lot like the litigation that we're engaged in New York. And, in fact, in a federal case there in Chicago, a federal district court found that the plaintiffs had, in fact, stated a claim for an equal protection violation based on exactly the same sort of considerations that are at play here in New York, and not just in New York. As you point out, this is a story that is playing again and again across markets in not just the United States, but around the world. You're talking about Chicago. You're talking about Boston. You're talking about New York. And in each of these cities, you're faced with the same basic set of facts, which is unfair competition. And that competition is having a disastrous effect on the industry. So the bill in Chicago, you know, I don't know whether or not that particular legislation will have any material effect on improving the circumstances that the taxis face in Chicago. But I think what that sort of points to is a lot of what you're starting to see in New York City, which is a recognition that the facts on the ground really are what we've been saying all along. It's not just that this is, an unfair situation. It's that it is having a disastrous effect. And, you know, you see this in New York City. You know, a lot of people talked about this, and I think we talked about it the last time I was on, but you know, the city released its for-hire transportation study, and most of the focus about that study, aside from the fact that it cost $2 million and, you know, was thin on data, but most of the talk was that the study found that it wasn't Uber that was contributing to traffic, but what really wasn't focused on was all of the rest of the conclusions that were reached in that report. And that report pretty clearly made the same case we're making in court, which is that, you know, the fact that there are these rules that impose disproportionate burdens on the taxi industry, not the least of which is the accessibility requirements that companies like Uber do not carry, that this is having a harmful effect on competition, that this is actually, ironically, going to lead to less accessible vehicles on the road, and a whole bunch of other things like that. You know, I was just looking at a summary of a document that came out after the for-hire study was released by New York City, and this is an interesting document, Dave. You may have seen it. It was the result of a Freedom of Information request, and New York City released some of the underlying documents that were connected to the for-hire transportation study, and much of it was redacted, and, you know, that gives questions
redacted.
About
17 page were blacked out like it was CIA nuclear information they were hiding.
Right, which of course gives, you know, rise to the question of who had a hand in that report. But, you know, it's interesting because even in that report, you know, I'll just read you one quote because I read it again and again, but, you know, it says, quote, "Legacy regulations create distinctions between the sectors that are not necessary to serve city policy goals." You know, another quote, "Eliminating unnecessary distinctions improves competition." I mean, these are the nuts and bolts of an equal protection case. I mean, that's the whole point, that the city's engaged in this sort of ongoing, irrational treatment of the industry where it saddles one sector with a series of rules and regulations that nobody else carries. And, you know, the result is not hard to foresee. The result is exactly what you're getting.
Every month there are more... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, every month there are more Uber cars on the road. I should say more FHV vehicles on the road. And, You know, they mentioned the number in that report, that FHV transportation report, but the chairwoman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission at the city council gave some statistics that are interesting, that there were 41,000 vehicles in 2012, okay, and we're talking about vehicles and drivers at the TLC licenses, and today there are 89,000 vehicles, more than 100% increase, and somehow that doesn't increase traffic, according to that study. Also stated that there were 110,000 drivers that were licensed in 2012, and today there are 150,000 drivers licensed, an increase of 40,000 drivers. With 47,000 more cars, how can there not be more traffic? How can there not be more pollution? What a study. You know, instead of paying $2 million, I could have had my kid brother on a bicycle give a study that was more truthful.
But you know what, Dave? Putting aside the point you make, which I think is a fair one, and I think a lot of people share that view, the thing about the study is that it still leads to the inescapable conclusion that what's going on with the industry is just wrong. It makes absolutely clear that the disparate rules imposed on the taxi industry are not only unfair, but they're counterproductive to the city's goals. They're counterproductive to increasing competition, which is what the stated objective in the first place of opening the market was. That what they're doing with the rules is having the opposite effect. And if it continues, it's going to lead to the obvious. So for all the things that are wrong with that study, it got one thing right, and that is that the playing field is not level, and it better get level in a hurry. And I think to your point about what's going on in Chicago with that piece of legislation and what you're seeing here in the city council, is it a day late and a nickel shy? I don't know. But I will tell you that it is the beginning of a realization that you gotta level this playing field. And how you do it, you know, that's a separate question. For a lawyer like me in an equal protection case in federal court, it's not my place to say whether or not that there should be, surge pricing for everyone, surge pricing for no one. It's not my place to say how the playing field should be leveled. What competition requires is that the playing field be level, wherever you set it.
Here's an email from Sal. I read an article predicting that the only passengers left for taxis will be the disabled and the elderly. The misfortune of taxis so Uber can enjoy their profits is un-American. What is this world coming to? Thank you, Sal, for your email. We'll take a call right now. Let's take Gloria. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Mr. Higgins.
Hi there.
My question is, why is it that Uber, Lyft, and all these companies are above the law? Why are they able to have so many cabs going on, so many Ubers taking out, and yellow industry is so highly regulated that to take 10 medallions out, they have to have 100 meetings, and they can't take them out or whatever. They're above the law. How is it that in this world right now that we're living in, this is being allowed? There's no competition. Uber does whatever Uber wants. And in Jersey, I read an article where they can't go into the airport, that Uber told their drivers, they'll go and we'll pay for the tow, we'll pay for the ticket. Who are they to impose and come like, they're like pirates that have taken the world?
What do you think, Todd?
Well, these are arguments and these are points that people like Gloria and yourself have seen coming for a long time and have been saying these things. I think, trying to look ahead and see where things are headed now, I think that, finally you're starting to see people more broadly recognizing this issue, and a perfect example of it is the way that, you know, the price cuts that Uber engaged in at the end of January, which incidentally came literally just hours after the federal court initially declined to issue the preliminary injunction, and Uber went out, as probably all your listeners know acutely, they went out and announced widespread pricing cuts and proudly boasted that their prices were now as much as, you know, 30% less than the price of a taxi. And in fact, I was walking in Midtown 2 days ago, and I actually noticed on the side of a bus stop, there was an Uber advertisement. You know, it was advertising those price cuts and specifically comparing it to cheaper than a taxi. And, you know, people look at this, and, you know, people recognize, not just for the drivers who are driving for Uber who were initially unhappy about it, but now you see what the consequence of that price cut was in the ridership numbers that Uber has been releasing since then. And their ridership numbers are up 20-30%, you know, across all five boroughs, including Manhattan. And, of course, you know, the obvious question is, well, where are those passengers coming from? Where are those rides coming from? And the answer to that's obvious. It's coming from the yellow taxis.
You know, it's amazing, Todd. You know, it's amazing. What really bothers me is hundreds of Uber drivers were picketing the Uber offices in Queens on Jackson Avenue. Hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And we had the lawsuit, and, you know, the decision. And what does Uber do? They lower the prices. The same guys complaining that they weren't making enough money are now working harder to make less money. I mean, is that fair? Any Uber drivers out there? By the way, I want to thank Christine for her email. I want to thank Abe for his email. And hello to all the locksmiths in Manhattan who are listening. Yes, 47,000 more cars from 3 years ago. That's why your customers can't park in front of your businesses in Manhattan. Okay, because they're all these FHV vehicles are parked waiting for whatever they're waiting for to make less money.
But here's the thing, Dave. You know, you talk about those drivers for Uber that were now having to drive more hours and making less money. But the real thing is, you know, now you see the increase in ridership. And, of course, what you're also going to see then is the corresponding drop in taxi ridership. And the real kicker in the whole thing is, you know, what did Uber say at the time that it announced those price cuts? It says, you know, don't worry, we can always raise prices later. And that's the real ruse going on here. That's the real story, that when you drive competition out, which is what the inevitable effect of these unfair rules will be, then what are you left with? You're left with one company. And what can and will that company do? It'll raise its prices. So, you know, the point I make about the price cuts is that one of the specific rules that we've challenged, and people have focused on surge pricing and, you know, talking about whether it should be capped. And you have to understand that the issue with pricing really goes in both directions. And I've been making that point for a long time because the focus had only been about, well, Uber can have surge pricing, and that's great for attracting drivers who want to come and drive for Uber rather than drive for a yellow. And everyone who's associated with the industry knows that this has been as much a crisis about drivers as it is about medallion prices or ridership or these other issues. And using surge pricing as a way to attract drivers away from the yellow industry and driving for Uber has been one of the things that surge pricing makes it unfair. But the other side of the equation is that just as Uber was free to raise prices, it's free to lower them. It's free to lower them in order to undercut competition when it serves Uber's objectives.
So can yellow cabs cut their prices, counselor?
You've got the meter. That's what you've got.
Can yellow cabs raise their prices on a whim, counselor?
No. Right. No. That's the point. And
can Uber cars raise their prices whenever they want?
Of course not. And here's the thing.
Can Uber raise their prices whenever they want?
Of course.
And can they lower their prices whenever they want?
Of course. And they've
Doesn't sound very fair to me, counselor.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. It's one thing when you've got a counselor making the sort of dry academic argument that says, well, you need to have a level playing field when it comes to pricing flexibility. It's one thing to say that, but what's happened now, and I think what's changed, is that you see with these price cuts, you see the immediate impact that it's having in the market. So what was Uber's objective? Uber's objective was to gain market share. To take, and well, what, you know, you saw the, I think it was the New York Post 2 days later or the next day after Uber announced its policy, New York Post led with a story that basically said, you know, Uber's going for the jugular now. That's what the unequal rules permit to happen. Uber can wake up and say, you know what, we'll cut prices so far that taxis simply cannot compete, and they will lose market share to the point where they cannot sustain their businesses. And then guess what we'll do?
What will we do?
We'll raise our prices when they're gone.
Here's an email from Jesus. Yellow taxis are hot. Ubers are slow. Less people are riding with them. Here's an email from Mohammed. The city council needs to do a study to determine whether Uber surge pricing is for the demand for Uber or due to the lack of available taxis. If it's due to the lack of yellow taxis, then the city needs to enable more availability of taxis to decrease the cost of passengers looking for rides. I want to thank you for all your emails.
Dave, let me tell you what an answer to that email is and to this entire subject. The real point here is that what the city's got to do is create a leveling of the rules when it comes to pricing. You want to let everyone surge price based on market supply and demand, then you level it across the board. You want nobody to do it? Fine. Everybody operates on a meter with a fixed rate, and they all compete on the same terms. But that's the point. I'm not here to pass judgment about whether or not market demand should determine what your rates are when you get into a taxi or you get into an Uber. What I'm here to say is that whatever rules are going to apply to the taxi should apply to Uber.
That's what he's here to say. Whatever rules apply to the taxis should apply to Uber. When we come back, I will take your phone calls. I know we have a lot, and our number is 800-321-0710. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. We're on with Todd Higgins, the lead attorney in the federal lawsuit against the City of New York and the Taxi and Limousine Commission. And Gloria, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. It answers our question. There we go. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave.
Quick poster. Bring it up, let's have it now.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Giffen Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Hereford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is the leader in taxi leasing, run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down,
You can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055.
Me and my uncle went riding down South Colorado, West Texas bound. We stopped over in Santa Fe, that day in the fall, just about halfway. Hey, you know it was the hottest part of the day.
Taxi Dave is back. It is the hottest part of the day down here in Lantana, Florida. Thanks to Marge and Mike opening their house and their dresser drawers for my studio down here. Hey, is that the Grateful Dead or is that Big Medicine? With Jerry Lehman in Boston's. I know who it is, Noah. I'm asking a rhetorical question. It's a plug. Hey, Alfie, thank you very much for the email. I do appreciate it. We're here with Todd Higgins, lead attorney in the lawsuit against the City of New York and the TLC regarding equal protection. Let's take a question from JFK Mike. You're live on Taxi Dave.
How you doing, Taxi Dave? How you doing, Mr. Higgins? How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, I just want to thank you 100% for bringing out the equal protection part of this Uber fiasco mess that we're in the middle of, because I drive a yellow cab, and I'm constantly seeing that I have about 12 places on the cab where I have my cab number and my hack license shown, and the Uber cars, I don't see a lot of external or internal car IDs.
There's no external branding at all, Mike.
There's none. There's none. And also, I like to just say, you know, we have a set fare. They have surge. And the only thing is we wanted a level playing field. And I think there's a lot of stuff where the driver works for a yellow cab. We log in for a shift, and these Uber guys are running around willy-nilly. So there are safety issues. And I hate to say it, the safety issues were front and center when that Uber driver went nuts out in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And
And what did he do, Mike, in Kalamazoo, Michigan?
Between Uber jobs, apparently, he went out and killed six people.
Typical day of work. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, even I couldn't make that up in my worst moment of sarcasm, what happened in real life out in Kalamazoo. But the fact remains, disgusting. These drivers aren't vetted. The yellow cab drivers are fingerprinted, drug tested, over-regulated. So I want to thank you for bringing that unequal protection aspect up, because it's becoming a complete mess, and it's very dangerous for our people in the city. And I just want to thank you for that. Oh, and Dave, could I mention nyctaxinews.com?
No, I wouldn't mention nyctaxinews.com. What's the website again?
Nyctaxinews.com.
Yeah, don't mention it.
Look, you know, I think that's great, and I won't mention nyctaxi.com either. But I will say this, you know, when you talk about the safety concerns, and really this is the same point, whether you're talking about vehicle requirements, you're talking about driver requirements, you're talking about pricing, with each of these issues, really what it comes down to is that the considerations that drive the regulations are the same whether you're talking about Uber or you're talking about a yellow taxi when you live in an age of electronic on-demand hails. And, you know, it's a separate issue as to how we got here in the first place. Certainly for medallion owners and the long-standing traditional right to hail exclusivity that's actually codified in New York State law, it's a question for another day as to whether that right's been taken away, and whether if that right's been taken away, whether medallion owners are owed just compensation under the Constitution for having had that right taken away, something that they paid for. But for the moment, however we got here, if you're going to have an open market and you're going to have electronic hails, which are functioning the same as regular hails, then the considerations that drive these regulations are the same whether you're talking about safety or you're talking about pricing or you're talking about any other aspect of the business, because these businesses are competing against each other with the same drivers offering the same service for the same passengers.
Okay, thanks for
your comments, Mike. We really do appreciate it. Let's take Michael now. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Taxi Dave, and good evening, Mr. Higgins.
Good evening.
I do have something I have mentioned on the air before, but since you are on the air, I'd like to mention it again. A few years ago, when Halo came to New York City, Black Cars Company sued the Halo industry, saying e-hailing is pre-arranged service. And the TLC answered them, e-hailing is not. You know, e-hailing is opposite. It is pre-arranged service. And now, TLC is saying the opposite, that e-hailing is pre-arranged. And I'd like to know what you
think. What did they say? What did they say in the past, Mike? Michael, what did they say in the past?
They said, the TLC said, no, e-hailing is not pre-arranged job.
Oh, not pre-arrangement.
Okay. Yeah. And now they're saying e-hailing is a pre-arranged service.
Well, of course they have to say that because Todd Higgins is suing them.
Well, of course, not only that, but like Michael, of course, I have also pointed out, both in New York State Court and in federal court, that New York City was faced with a challenge by the black car industry on the subject of electronic hails, and the city, you know, very clearly took the position on the record under oath that an e-hail is a hail. And, you know, they have since tried to run away from that record, but the documents speak for themselves. The transcripts say what they say. The city wrote what it wrote in its papers. They made clear that they weren't going to concede in that litigation that an e-hail is a form of prearrangement. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, as recently as January 29th, 2015, when the TLC was voting on the rules to permanently allow taxis to pick up e-hails, even then you had the TLC's, I think, deputy counsel, make remarks on the record. And, he said, in effect, for those of you who are not, familiar with what an e-hail is, it basically extends a handhail. I mean, this is a silly discussion at the end of the day. You don't need a thesaurus. You don't need, references to transcripts. You just got to use your common sense. These things are functionally equivalent. They do the same thing. And at the end of the day, the data doesn't lie. That's why I point to the for-hire study, because lawyers can argue whatever they want, and they can twist things, and they can stretch things out in court and make it go on for a long time. But, the market doesn't lie. The data doesn't lie. And that's why the for-hire study was so important, because the for-hire study, even now, the city has to confront the facts. It has to confront the data. And the data makes plain that e-hails are substituting for hails. That's the language of the city. You know, the main reason, Dave, why the city concluded that Uber wasn't contributing to traffic is because, and this is almost a quote, because Uber rides, or we'll sort of say Uber and the like, are substituting for yellow taxi rides.
Right.
I mean, if that doesn't prove the point that we're talking about one and the same thing here, then nothing does.
All right. That's an excellent point that Michael called in with. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to have we'll take a couple of calls. We have Mike Spivak. Todd Higgins, I want to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show. You've done a masterful job of explaining everything in detail to all our listeners in the tri-state area. And as you know, what happens in New York City is mirrored throughout the world. Not too much pressure on you, I understand. You have the entire industry on your shoulders right now. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Let's see. Let's have a one quick email right here, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about, so I'm not even going to address that one right now. Let's head into a commercial, okay, and then I'll take some calls. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more of me, Taxi Dave, and Mark and Marge, broadcasting live from the Dresser in Lantana, Florida.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Gifford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Gifford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is a leader in taxi leasing run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
The best show on WOR. It's the only show I listen to.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the two-dog man together.
That's what we're doing in Lantana, Florida, folks. Dave Taxi Dave is broadcasting live. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And you can also visit Big Medicine with Jerry Lehman if you like this kind of music while you're down here. I know I did. Some New York City statistics. Private employment in New York City rose by 35,000 jobs between December and January. That's the private sector. And New York City's unemployment rate was 5.3% in January, up from 5.2% in December. Did you ever wonder how many employees are in corporations in New York City? Well, 40% of corporations have between 1 and 19 employees. Between 20 and 49 employees, that's about 17%. 30% of all corporations have between 50 and 250 employees, and 12% of all corporations have between 250 and 500 employees. These are statistics you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. You want to know, for the final year, they just got the stats in from 2014, how many businesses are owned by men and how many businesses in New York City are owned by women? 31% are owned by women, and all the rest are owned by men. I guess we're not talking multiple corporations with different men and women in it. As far as the airports go, in December 2015, 10.5 million passengers flew in and out of Newark, LaGuardia, and Kennedy airports, and also Westchester County Airport. And that's a 4% increase from the year before. Broadway ticket sales, over 1.1 million sold in 5 weeks ending this January 31st. And 850,000 for the 4 weeks ending February 28th. Sales are up over 18%. More stats you're not going to you're not going to hear anywhere else. And in December 2015, the average daily hotel room rate was $322. That's a 5.5% decrease from a year ago. So can you believe hotel rates are going down in New York City? I wonder why that's happening. Also, Gridlock Sam, he's blasting it out there as he did on the Taxi Dave show. Cantilevers. Cantilevers. When you build highways above ground, they use cantilevers. He said the repairs need to be done on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. It's past its 10-year intended lifespan. Okay? That's the overhead triple cantilever portion on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. So he's basically predicting it's going to collapse and they're going to have to close it. And he feels the city should be working on it right now. Let's take a call from Tom O'Connor. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How do you do, Dave?
All right, Tommy boy.
What I'd like to say is there's some very unfortunate drivers that bought medallions from the city of New York for over $1 million. That was 300 medallions they sold to hardworking fellas to become an independent medallion owner. And in return, this is what they gave them, Yuba. I feel...
Miba?
Yuba. I feel...
Miba. Okay.
I feel that Mr. Higgins, I think he got a good case representing these 300 poor owner drivers that paid $1,300,000 to the city of New York. Where are they going to get the money to pay for these things now? You know, that would be a nice little piece of business for some legal consultant. That's all I got to say, Dave.
Thanks a lot for calling Taxi Dave, Tommy. Appreciate it. Miva?
Okay.
Here's an email. A New York City taxi driver is going to be saddled with another expense taking an anti-rape class. Is it going to cost taxi drivers anything? Well, that remains to be seen. The rules haven't been written yet, but they did come out and say it is going to happen. So we really don't know at this point. Let's take, who are we going to take? Let's take Joe from Hoboken. Not Hoboken, nah. Oh, Joe is gone. I was going to take Joe from Hoboken. Do we have anybody else on the line, or should I give out the number? All right. We have with us a famous New York City representative who has defended yellow taxi drivers. Gee, I know. I think it's at least 10 years that I know him. Mike Spivak, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, David. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and it's always a pleasure to be on your fine radio program.
Okay, you have a message, you want to discuss something and or give information out to drivers as far as what to look out for, what's going on now?
Two main things for tonight, quickly. The first one is that it's come to my attention that the NYPD is giving warnings to drivers, saying that they're not going to give them a summons, and then lo and behold, if you don't check your mail, and that's going to lead to my second point tonight, they actually do issue the summons later on. The officers hand the warning to the driver, and then later on, it turns out that a summons actually issued by the NYPD, which is deceptive, probably not proper for jurisdiction on the summons, and I think just misrepresentation of police work and fraud almost. And the summonses go forward. If you don't answer the summons, you get the... Yes. I believe the NYPD is engaging in a type of fraud in this particular context, yes.
Wow. Hey, you want to come with me Wednesday to see Commissioner NYPD Bratton? I'm going to a breakfast with him. You can ask him about it there. We'll talk about it off the record. Turn your radio down, by the way.
I'd love to. My radio isn't on. That's a particular problem. And the second issue is, you should keep your address current with the DMV and the TLC. With regard to the TLC, if you don't get a correspondence from the TLC and don't show up on a summons, TLC adjudicates the summons without you and default convicts you. And what that means is, even if the summons is baloney and written improperly, the TLC doesn't have to prove their case. You're automatically adjudicated guilty, and the highest fine is assessed against you. And then the burden shifts to you, the driver, or the TLC licensee, as the case may be, to open the case back up, and the proof falls on you to show why you didn't show up and why you're innocent. And
have you been handling a lot of summonses like that?
Sure, yes, a large amount. And that's why you should always keep your address current. And if you don't get good mail service at the place where you live, it's imperative that you get a post office.
Let me tell you something. There's a lot of taxi owners and taxi drivers I've spoken with, and some of them think they're wise guys. They said, the TLC didn't notify me by mail, so I don't have to pay for anything. I don't have to get an accessible vehicle because I didn't get anything by mail. I don't have to do anything. And then they end up suspended or revoked, and then they come, why can't you help me? I didn't, because they didn't update their address with the TLC. TLC is Taxi Limousine Commission, folks. And they didn't update their email addresses. Folks, you know, we're in the 21st century here. Saying, I didn't change my address, you can't give me... Guilty, guilty, guilty. That's the way it is. If you haven't changed your address with agencies of the city of New York, if you haven't given them your latest email address, you will get summonses, you will be found guilty, you will be suspended, and then you're going to have to call a guy like Mike Spivak to bail you out. So if you do need help getting bailed out, Mike, how do people reach you?
Thank you, David. They can find me by reading your fine newspaper, Taxi Insider, where my address and phone number are listed.
Taxi Insider. I heard you can get that at nyctaxinews.com, but I'm not going to mention it. Go ahead.
Okay. 212-754-1011. That's 212-754-1011. And they can reach me, call me there, and I'll be glad to help with whatever issues they have legal regarding summonses and other legal work.
Other legal work like what?
Wills, buying or selling a business, suing, small lawsuits, bankruptcies, whatever legal problems that they have. I'm a general practice lawyer.
Okay, give the number one more time, and
sure,
we'll say goodnight, Gracie.
212-754-1011.
Mike Spivak, thanks for coming on the Taxi Dave Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Okay, there was a Taxi Limousine Commission industry notice. And everyone who's licensed by the Taxi and Limousine Commission, you know, first of all, I got to talk about, I'm going to talk about a couple of things real quick. 20 years ago, I remember, the Transit Police merged with the police department, NYPD. That was like 1995, okay? And they wanted a radio system that would allow them to talk to one another. So if you're on the subway before 1995, the transit police could not speak with NYPD, and there were delays in, you know, emergency vehicles responding, whether it be ambulances, police cars, etc. So it never happened. They were supposed to change, get a new radio system and a new frequency. But now there's a new plan to have all officers, whether you're on the subway or above ground, to use the same frequency bandwidth. Okay, they'll be reprogrammed to allow them to communicate over ultra-high frequencies on the street and in the subway. But the problem is, it's already cost $100 million. They never solved the radio problem. There's delayed responses till this day. If there's a fire on the subway, if there are crimes, power failures, the cops in the subway can't call emergency vehicles. What the hell is going on in this city? So it's nice that they have a plan. Let's spend another $100 million and see how it doesn't work. Also, the Oculus, that thing that looks like a, God, I can't even describe it. Think of the biggest dinosaur on Earth and just the bones of the dinosaur. The Oculus is where the World Trade Center train station used to be, and it's a new station. It was estimated to cost $2 billion. And that was in 2004, okay? So now here we are, 12 years later, and it's finally almost totally open, and the cost is $4 billion. $2 billion to $4 billion, okay, 12 years for the Oculus, and it's finally partially open. It's not even totally open. You know, New York City pisses away millions of dollars like you eat fruit. You know, let me have another $100 million. You know, and I'm eating fruit out of my dresser drawer right now. But that's another story. Also, we have City Councilman David Greenfield says that the MTA sounds like a broken record. He questioned the MTA about the status of a study that was supposed to put the Express F trains, F as in Frank, back in service. And it's like, you know, 5 years and nothing's been done. You know, what the heck is going on in this city? I want to thank Todd Higgins. I want to thank all you listeners. I don't want to thank that wonderful restaurant. What's the name of it, Mark?
Basil.
Oh, Basil's in Manalapan for almost, for making me wait for my terrible food. Okay, and I got all your emails, all you Florida listeners. I know I should have gone here, I should have gone there, but right now, I just have to go. Stay tuned every Sunday night for Taxi Dave. Hey, taxi! Take me back to New York. The food stinks here.